Growing up is hard. It is awkward. It is uncomfortable. It is really, really tough. If you can think back to maybe if your child or your grandchild, and they're one or two, they loved that binky or that pacifier, and it was their precious, precious thing. And then one day you had to tell that child they are no longer allowed to have that binky. And you might have told them out loud, or you might have sneakily stole those binkies and throw them in the garbage. And what happened? They are not happy. And they might think about it, they might cry, and then the next day you might be in Publix or Walmart or Target, and they want that binky, and then they throw a temper tantrum because they are no longer allowed to have that binky. Growing up is hard. It's awkward. It's difficult. Or maybe you think a little further along in life, and you're a fifth grader. And when you're in fifth grade, you are the king of the class. You are the big man, the big girl on campus. And what happens? You walk around, know that you are everything. And then a year goes by, and what happens? You hit sixth grade and begin middle school. And it is awkward. It is difficult. You are no longer a big fish. You are now a small little plankton with whales all around you. It is awkward. It is difficult. It is hard to grow up. And maybe if you think a little further along, when you are a teenager, and you might, in the middle of the night, you might experience these things called growing pains, where your legs are growing way too fast for your body, and you might look like this handsome young devil up there. Do you see how long my legs are? They are way too long for my body. And my arms are way too long for my body. And I have a big head, and you can't see in that picture, but I probably have acne beginning to grow, and my torso is the smallest thing on my body. Growing up is hard. It's awkward. It is difficult. Not just the physical aspects, but the social aspects. It's hard to grow up. And where we find ourselves in the text this morning is Ephesians chapter 4. So if you want to follow along, you can open up in your Bibles or on your Bible app. And we're going to start with verse 12 in chapter 4. And Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus about becoming mature adults in faith. So we'll start at verse 12. And he writes this: God's purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ until we all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. Now, when he's talking about being mature and fully grown, he's not talking about our physical bodies. This is not just for us as children to grow up in our physical bodies, but he's talking about our faith and our spiritual walk. And I can tell you, I've learned from some of these students, and for these students who do pastoral prayers and call to worship and announcements, I have learned they have a deep, mature faith. And I have learned that sometimes they're more mature than I am in their faith. So they're not talking about the physical bodies, but Paul is writing to talk about the spiritual walk, the spiritual journey, and to be mature in that. So then he keeps going. If you are mature adults, as a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer, who can be tossed and blown around by every wind that comes from teaching with deceitful scheming and the tricks people play to deliberately mislead each other. But instead, by speaking the truth with love, let's grow in every way into Christ, who is the head. The whole body grows from him as it's joined and held together by all the supporting ligaments. The body makes itself grow in that it builds itself up with love as each one does its part. Will you pray with me? God, speak anew to us this day. Guide us, lead us, teach us how to be mature Christians and people of faith who grow closer and closer to you. Amen. So the book of Ephesians is a very short book. It's only 6 chapters long, so if you don't know where to begin and you want to read the whole book of the Bible, Ephesians is a really good place to start. But chapters 1 through 3 are somewhat hard to read, and it's actually a theological treatise or a doctrine about what it means to be a Christian, about who is Christ and what does it mean that he was resurrected from the dead, and what does Christ have to do with our lives, and who is this spirit person, and what is it's all this Trinitarian theology. chapters 1 through 3. But then you get to chapter 4 through 6, and it takes all of those things and say, well, how do we live that out? How do we live a faithful Christian life if we believe in chapters 1 through 3? And this is where Paul starts with us in verses 12, about how do we live our lives according to who Jesus is. And he starts with this word. God wants to equip God's people. It's part of our mission and vision statement, to equip the young. And the word equip here isn't a good actual definition of what the Greek word actually means. The Greek word is actually about like fixing for a purpose or leading towards perfection. And it's the same word in Greek that they use in Ephesians when Jesus calls the disciples out from the boat. They're fishing and they are mending their nets. And the same word for mending that we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the same word that we have here for equipping. So Paul is really saying that God wants to mend our nets. Now, who all has ever been fishing before? Who's been fishing? Who's ever used like a cast net before? A few, okay. I went fishing for the first time when I got here. I went shrimping. I don't know, not jumbo shrimping, none of that. But I went shrimping, and I had never really used a cast net before. And I went with the Sideners, and they brought their cast nets, and I don't even know what these things are, but they try to begin teaching you about how to catch shrimp. And you throw this muck in the water, and you get these nets, and you hold on to the net with your teeth, and you use two hands, and you sort of like throw it out and hope your teeth don't come out. It's somewhat hard. And there was a few times where I began to whip it out there, and the net began to get caught, and it began to tear. And I began to just put it on the ground and began to like mend it and fix it. But as I'm mending and fixing it, another thing breaks, and I need to mend and fix that. And it's hard to mend. It's difficult. And the first century Palestinians would know this. They would use nets that are probably more intricate than we have. And if you see how difficult that is, they're probably mending those little things. And you think using fishing line and getting that stuck in a tree is hard? Imagine fixing these type of nets. That is difficult. And the people of first century Palestine would know that. And God called, and he says that God wants to mend their souls, mend their spirits, fix them and take them out of the water so that they might be of service and they might catch more fish. We are called to be fisher of people. So God first wants to mend our nets. But then Paul continues. He uses another boat illustration. He says he wants us to become mature adults. Again, mature adults in faith, not about physical body. And to be fully grown. So that as a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer who can be tossed and blown around by every wind that comes. Has anybody ever driven a boat before? A few. It's not as easy as driving a car, is it? A car, you go on the road and you can turn left and it goes left. You turn right, it goes right. And if you go straight, it goes pretty straight. But if you're in a boat and the waves are crashing and it's really windy, in order for you to go straight, you kind of have to go left, then right, then left, then right, then left, then right. And it's hard. And for first century Palestine, they didn't have motors. They had a sailboat. And the wind really played a giant impact upon how the boat went straight. So sailing is hard. And seeing the wind going left and right would push the boat left or right or left or right. And the way that you kind of have to learn how to sail straight despite the wind. And Paul, again, is pulling up this imagery of boats, about mending our nets, and reminds the people of Ephesus, that they are supposed to go straight and not to be deceived by the deceivers, go left or right, or the world that would take you to go this way or that way. You might be distracted by other things going this way and that way. But they're called to be mature adults, to go down this path. So God wants to mend our nets and calls us to be mature adults in our faith, to not be distracted by the winds, but to go in this straight path. So what does that look like for us? Well, for us, we are Methodists, and we have a method to our madness. That's the reason we're called Methodists. We're known for having these certain steps and functions. So if you open up in your bulletin, everybody should have one. You will have two sheets of paper. One will be a white sheet of paper, and one will be a pink sheet of paper. You can put the pink sheet of paper away just for a second. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. But I want you to open up your white sheet of paper. And for us, we're going to unroll this thing called relationship stages. And we want you all, as we go through some of these stages, this is about where you figure out where you're at in your relationship with God. Where would you find yourself in these five stages? There is no shame about where you find yourself. Whether you're a stranger and don't believe in God at all, or if you're a devoted friend with Jesus and Jesus is a whole part of you, wherever you fall within that is okay. There's no shame. But as we go through these, I want you to self-identify where you would be at. Because for us to grow in our faith and for Christ to mend our nets, it begins with self-awareness. If you want to go somewhere, you have to start with where you're at. So I want you, as we go through this, to self-identify where you would find yourself. Now, you might find yourself in the middle, but I'm going to ask you to pick one of them. Okay? So we're going to go through them. The first stage is ignoring or a stranger. And you might think to yourself, well, I don't know if I believe in God, and maybe I believe in God, but I don't need a faith community. You might be spiritual but not religious and feel like you have nothing to do with the church. So if you find yourself in that category, we have some things for you to move from ignoring or strangers to exploring and acquaintances. One thing you can do is be here at church. You have made it. You've taken that first step to explore about who God is, to kind of figure out who is this God character. But if this isn't the place for you, you might go to beer and hymns. You get to sing hymns with people, and you get to explore who God is. Or maybe you go kayaking with Jeff, and you experience God on the river and out in nature. To begin that process of figuring out, introduce yourself to who God is. You might find yourself in the second stage, where you say that I believe in God, but I'm not sure about Jesus or the church. My faith is not a significant part of my life. So these people are probably those who come to church maybe once every 2 or 3 months, maybe Christmas or Easter. And you might say, well, I believe in God, but this church thing, I'm exploring it. So some things you might do, you might take a couple classes. The first class you can take is a disciple's path. This is not just for new members, but it's for everybody. Exploring, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Methodist? What is this prevenient grace? What is grace even about? Or you might take a class called The Road Back to You, which is all about the Enneagram. And the Enneagram is a personality test that helps you figure out who you are as a person, how God created you, and what does that mean in your relationship with God. So those are two things you can take for the second one. Then you move to the third one. Maybe you find yourself as getting started or a friend with Jesus. And you might say to yourself, I believe in Jesus, and I'm working on what it means to follow him, and I participate in the life of the church. So maybe you show up to church once a month. Your kids might be at VBS, and you might show up sporadically, but you're still trying to work upon what it means to fully be invested in the church. So a couple things you can do. You can take a class called Making Sense of the Bible, of figuring out what does it mean to read the Bible, and how does that impact my life and my faith walk. Or maybe you take a class called When Helping Hurts. Maybe you experience God when you're serving, and this study helps you figure out, well, what does service mean, and how does that impact my faith walk and my journey with God? And then maybe you find yourself in the fourth category, about going deeper, and you might be a good friend with God. And you would say to yourself, my relationship with Jesus makes a difference in how I live my life, and I'm discovering how my life can make God's love real in the world. So maybe you come to church two times a month, three times a month, and you're actively engaged in worship, and you're actively engaged in a small group, and you're still trying to grow in your faith. So you might take some of these classes, a deeper study about Psalms. Or you might take a class about boundaries, about how do you create boundaries with your family? How do you create boundaries with work? How do you create these healthy boundaries, and what does that mean for your walk with faith? And how does that help your faith journey? Or maybe you take Financial Peace University, about how God has given you so many resources. How would you be able to give those back, and how do you grow in your financial walk? Or maybe you find yourself in centering or intimate friends or devoted friends. If you say that you're here, that doesn't mean you're done. That is not the end of your faith walk. You continue to grow time and time again. And if you see that arrow, you're always growing. You're always trying to become closer and closer to God. But if you find yourself here, you might say that Jesus is the most important thing in your life. That everything you do, everything you say, everything you are reflects the kingdom of God. And you're still called to grow even more. So you might take a class called Enough about how does the simplicity of life shape the way that I view Christ? Or maybe you take Disciple 4, which is a deeper understanding of the Bible, and it's a long-term commitment to figure out, how does the Bible speak to my life? And these are some options. These are some ways that you can practically grow in your faith. But it starts with figuring out where you're at. And there's no shame for wherever you find yourself on this category. And there might be moments where your prayer life is over here. I'm a good friend. I'm going deeper in my prayer life. And at the same time, you're reading a scripture, might be, I'm just exploring it. Or maybe your giving might be over here, but then your attendance at worship is over here. We all find ourselves in different walks of life, and we find ourselves in different places. But God wants to mend our nets, and God wants to use us after God repairs us. And God calls us to go on this straight path and not be deflected by the wind, but to go straight and be mature adults be mature adults in our faith. So if you go through your bulletin again, you'll find that pink sheet. And everybody needs a pink sheet. And ushers, if you could help me pass out some of these sheets, they're going to come back. And they're going to give you white sheets. But everybody needs this, whether you're a child, whether you're a youth, whether you're an adult. Everybody needs one of these. And it has the. And if you need one, you can raise your hand, and the ushers will come in and give you one. But what we're going to do is I'm going to give you about 45 seconds or a minute or so. And as we've talked, I want you to identify what stage of your relationship with God do you find yourself. And you're going to mark it on here. You don't need to put your name. It's okay. But what you're going to do is, as you leave the sanctuary today, either on the side door or in the back, you're going to put it into a basket. And we're going to look at them and see, where is our church as a whole? So for you to grow as an individual, you have to figure out where you're at. But for us as a church, we have to figure out where the church is at. And how do we grow if we're strangers or if we're acquaintances or friends or good friends or devoted friends? So I'm going to give you about 45 seconds or a minute to figure out where you're at in your relationship stage with God. And then I'll come back, okay? You ready? Go. I promise you, you don't have to write an essay about why you feel that you're in this category. There's none of that. But I hope that as you've kind of explored and just had to figure out in your own prayer life where you're at upon this relationship stage, my hope and my prayer is that you might take an action step. You might go and sign up for a class. And if you said, I don't know about those classes, but I want to be connected in a small group, you could sign up for a small group. And it doesn't mean you have to do it online right now. What you can do is go outside the center aisle, and there's a sign-up sheet right there. All you have to do is put your name down. So you can't just say, I wasn't told about it. It's here. And my challenge for you, honestly, is to grow in your faith. John Wesley said that there's no such thing as plateauing. You're either moving closer and closer to God, or you're moving further and further back. Where are you called to grow? And I know, growing up is hard. It's difficult. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to go to a class that you don't know the people and you don't even really know the subject. But God might be mending your nets, and that might be a way that you can go straight. And I know it's awkward. It's difficult to make time out of your daily schedule, out of your weekly schedule, with all the things that you've got to do. But it's a great way for you to grow in your faith and to become a mature disciple of God. So might you take one of these steps? Might you grow in your faith, and might God be mending your nets so that you might be a mature person of faith? Let us pray. God, we thank you that you call us forward to mend our nets. And we pray that you would stir within us your spirit, that you would breathe upon us to go the right way, that you would guide us and lead us on the straight path, that we wouldn't falter by the winds and we wouldn't be like infants, but that we might grow as mature disciples of yours. Guide and lead us this day. Amen. Would you please rise and let us sing our closing hymn? All right.